right, good day wherever you are in this world. I hope you're having a great day here listening to Revolution Radio. Everybody asked for this. Revolution Radio. Where the information never sleeps.
Funeral. It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. All suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where I'm very pleased today to have an extraordinary guest from Australia. He's very well known to those in the truth-seeking community as PK or PK Truth. I have yet a second guest who will be featured the first part of the second hour with an update on the Georgia shooting, and you'll have opportunity to ask questions of both PK and my second guest, whom I will introduce on that occasion. PK, it's just a great pleasure to have you back.
Well, Jim, I'm humble that you could call me extraordinary, but very humble that you could have me on your show, great man like you. Nothing's happened since our last talk. Things have been pretty quiet, eh?
Joke. Yeah, right. Riots, looting. You know, they're trying to take down all the statues. They're trying to destroy the cultural identity of the United States. There was even, believe it or not, PK, we discovered that there appears to have been an attempted assassination of the president at the State of the Union address, that Nancy Pelosi was going to poison him. You may or may not recall Trump refused to shake her hand, which was very puzzling at the time. But now we know in retrospect, because of a lip reader who was reading what was going on, the conversation between members of Congress and between Pelosi and Pence, they were trying to take him out. I mean, it's absolutely stunning. And now, of course, you've had the additional nonsense of the claim to ChinaGate, you know, that Trump was trying to solicit the help of China to get reelected. What, wasn't the help of Russia enough? They're running one nonsense scenario after another. It's reached far past insulting, PK.
Yeah, well, I got to pinch myself every time I wake up, Jim. Am I in a twilight zone? I just cannot believe, I try not to, you know, turn the TV on or the radio. I've made a point of not turning my TV on. Even the football's restarted last week and I don't even watch that even though I enjoy my sport. I just cannot listen to anything where every second word is COVID or coronavirus or pandemic or crisis or words like that. And I don't know how far this is going to go, but we could talk about, you know, what's been happening because I've got so much to say about it.
Well, just unload, PK. I want you to start anywhere you like.
Wow. I want to start, Jim, the absurdity how obviously this was all scripted a long time ago. I believe all these prior events, even starting from Sandy Hook, even before that, Boston, all these you call them false flag, but hoax events. They brought in car attacks. It was just a test to see how the masses would react, and they reacted perfectly for their. They believed just about every story that was put out, even though how absurd. They even tried to make things look absurd. The interviews of the supposed you can never go to Sandy Hook. The ridiculous reaction of the parents whose children died the next day, and they just said, "All right, this is it." We all know, Jim, that going back how many years when George Bush Sr. said New World Order, 1991, I think it was, that is their great agenda, one world military, one world government, one world religion, cashless society. And with that, it's obviously going to be a martial law police state. And I know I go around in circles and circles, but in Boston, the marathon, or hoax-a-thon as I call it, that was one of the biggest tests as far as a lockdown goes, where they locked down Boston for one night because supposedly two half-naked men, unarmed, are running the streets of Boston, and they had a shootout which went for like 10 minutes and about 1,000 police shooting. God knows what they were shooting at. The story, as you know, one supposedly died and the other ends up in a boat in someone's driveway. Absolutely, absolutely rubbish. We've had enough of Boston. But and as you know, after that, the people were chanting, USA, USA, USA in the streets. And that was a test for the lockdown. So that worked perfectly. And at the same time, when the Osama bin Laden was supposedly captured in Pakistan, and the people outside the White House when Mr. Obama made his speech, they're all climbing the fences, USA, USA. I mean, the absurdity of how people believe rubbish like this, to believe that this bin Laden guy was actually captured 10 years later and dumped in the sea without being questioned why and how he managed to go through a $1 trillion defense system on the day of 9/11. Surely you would have wanted to question how he managed to do that from a cave, but we go in on a different direction. So, as you know, Event 201 happened in October last year, 2 months prior to this, funded by a billionaire, $100 billion, I think his fortune is now, technocrat, who says that money doesn't buy power? You know, the world's being run by technocrats. George Soros, Bill Gates. We don't need politicians anymore. Not that they've ever, run the world. As you know, they're all puppets anyway. But yeah, it's all about Bill Gates at the moment, funding everything, control of the World Health Organization. So, yeah, bang, just so happened the 1st of January. Let's start this crazy rubbish in China. If you think China's not involved, every country is involved in this New World Order. They've got the Rothschilds, whatever the Zionists, they've got their foothold in every country, in every corporation, in every world. And it's just amazing how all en masse, all at the same time, follow the same rules virtually straight away. But yet, China started this, and as you know, China had the huge numbers of deaths, supposed deaths, and then they just moved on. I can go forever, but they had to end up the script somewhere in America, and obviously New York, the epicenter of the world virtually. I could talk about how they cut to Australia. It's so freaking laughable. This supposed bug jumps over countries like India with 1.4 billion people, and not a single death till the middle of March, in the most unhygienic country in the world. It jumped over countries like Bangladesh, Russia even, and made its way to Iran of all countries. Then it jumps to Italy. It was all scripted that these countries would have that. And it ever gets scripted, Jim, I'll get to Australia. I know I'm going to go on a bit, but Australia, as you know, is a major island. Well, it is an island surrounded by sea down south. And next to it, it's its little partner, New Zealand, who no one cares about. But they're highly involved with this. As you know, Christchurch, which we had words about, that was completely, like I said, like the shootings, that was a part of this big time, because what they used that for trying to censor the people who were going to speak out, and that's how they got involved with that, with Christchurch calls, which was a term they used for 14 countries to virtually censor anyone on the internet that spoke about anything. And isn't it amazing, Jim, how this Christchurch thing, like I said, I keep going here, they've never, how they try to use right-wing white supremacists, and they switched, they did the big flip 180 degrees from Muslims, you know, ISIS, whatever, attacking people, to all of a sudden the white supremacist right-wing attacking Muslims. And did that kick on? Oh, no, there was some bullshit thing in I think it was somewhere in Germany where a synagogue was supposedly attacked by some guy, and it just so happens the synagogue doors were closed and he shoots some woman walking past. I never made a video on it because it would have just removed my channel, but absolutely laughable. And that's the only two times they used this white supremacist thing. But as you know, divide and conquer, whichever way they can do it, it's all about divide and conquer, which is happening now with the police, and we'll get to that. But get back to Australia. How are they going to bring this bug into Australia? Because it's not just going to fly over all these countries, over the oceans into Australia. Let's use the Ruby Princess. And as you know, Jim, 4 weeks earlier, the Diamond Princess was used as well to spread this virus to America and other countries. So let's use its partner, Ruby Princess. And if you didn't know, Jim, every day on the oceans is about 200 cruise ships sailing. Prior COVID, I don't know how it's going now, but what's the odds of two ships that are doing this just happen to be a part of the Carnival cruise? 100% they are complicit in this plandemic, as I call it. So they had to use this Ruby Princess, supposedly docks outside of Australia. They allow people to come off, and, of course, they spread this virus. Explain how this virus got onto a cruise ship for starters. But then, let's try something else. Our great friend Tom Hanks. Everyone loves Tom Hanks. I used to love Tom Hanks. A despicable, horrible, words fail me what this person is like. As you know, Jim, the story with him having a typewriter known called Corona. But they had to use Tom Hanks. He just happens to come into Australia, the Gold Coast, northern part of Australia, with his supposed wife, Rita Wilson, and they brought in this coronavirus because, yeah, he got tested straight away because he had a bit of a cough. And the big scare, because at that time, at the start, it was all about positive, tested positive. It didn't matter. It didn't matter. It was just a tickle in the throat. But if you were tested positive, it was horrific news. So we never saw this guy once in a video, an interview, before, during, after. His communication was through his son, who sat in front of a monitor, bare-chested with the Illuminati one-eye symbol tattooed on his chest. Absolutely absurd. So Tom Hanks was used to start spreading this. It was like I said, it's the only way they can bring it into the country. And there's a guy, a TV a movie buff, as you call it. He's on the morning shows, talks about movies and the entertainment industry. His name's Richard Wilkins. This is how pathetic it is, Jim. Early March, I think, he tested positive. And Australia's going, oh, wow, if he can test positive, anyone can. And the story goes, he went in the backstage after Rita Wilson did some show here in Sydney, and he spent a few minutes with her, and obviously he's contracted this positive from Rita Wilson. And he came on a show here a month later on Current Affair. It was absolutely sickening to the core. He was trying to pretend to cry. And as you know, Jim, when they do interviews, they always show the interviewer and they cross to the person interviewed. Because why they do that is when they cross to the interviewer, they start putting the little eye drops into the guy being interviewed to make out like he's going to start crying. That's how they do it. You know, you can't fake crying unless, you know, something's really happened. So in the end, you can see these the eyes were sort of a bit teary, no tears coming out. And he's telling the story how when he was tested positive, Jim, he thought the world was going to end. He was too scared to tell his son, who was on this dancing show. And, you know, it was just so pathetic. And the story goes, all he had was a tickle in the throat that went the next day. But he isolated himself or quarantined himself, as they say. You know, because that's their story, Jim. You have to sit in isolation for 2 weeks. And I could get into a few phone calls I've been making in the last few weeks. And that's one thing I like to do, make phone calls. I know you're only going to get some dumb reception. You know, these are calls to the health minister, the federal health minister. I'll get onto that later if you want. But, you know, I plant the seeds in these people's heads that who talk. And maybe they can listen to me and you know, pass it on to other people. Because we have to spread the word. That's what I do, Jim, when I go out in the streets and talk to people. So that's how Australia got started. Wait till I tell you about what's... I made a video yesterday about the current situation in Australia. But so they used the Ruby Princess. Then, of course, there's a big inquiry, a criminal investigation of how the captain of the Ruby Princess didn't notify Australian authorities that they had sick people on board. I mean, Jim, it only takes 10 people to pretend they're sick, and the other 1,000 on the cruise ship would just follow herd mentality, as you know, and, oh, then they pretend they're sick. And the testing, we know there's no such testing. COVID-19 doesn't exist. We've all got coronavirus in us, and if you listen to the experts, as you know, like Andrew Kaufman and others, coronavirus has been here since the 60s. We all have it inside us. It gets created. It's inside our cells. And it gets created when we have diseases and it actually kills the toxic cells. And it's there for a purpose to help us. It's part of the immune system. But these clowns from day one are telling us that coronavirus is an actual disease. And it's beyond me how people can fall for that rubbish. And it's not even a living entity. It cannot spread through the air or by touch. And yet we have people everywhere wearing freaking masks. How stupid are they to put on a mask? They don't realise wearing the mask is actually doing you damage. It's actually developing germs and whatever, bacteria on it. And you're breathing your own carbon dioxide that is being forced to come back in your mouth. Gee, how can anyone drive in a car on their own and have a mask on? It's beyond belief. And I'm seeing that all the time. And let's just go to the social distancing garbage. Apparently a 14-year-old, I don't know, male or female, thought this up in a school project, and they've used this social distancing. Who determines 6 feet, 5 feet, 4 feet, 3 feet, 2 feet, 1 feet? It's absolutely ridiculous. I tell people out there, if the mask is working, why do you need social distancing? If the social distancing is working, why do you need a mask? If both the mask and social distancing are working, why are we closing down the whole economy of every country on the planet? What's going on here? So I know I've said a few words. I'll have a bit of a break. And what your thoughts, Jim?
Oh, well, you're doing great. You're doing great, PK. I think we have the globalist agenda is being advanced by attempting to pull out all the stops and bring the world economy to a halt. It's all going to be an attempt to consolidate under the international bankers. They want to get all the financing done electronically. They ran an experiment in India with a cashless society. I never heard how it came out, but you're going to leave homeless people who don't have credit cards, don't have credit, don't have access to computers, high and dry. What are they, to die in the streets? Plus, of course, once you get everyone tracked by financial digital transactions only, you can keep records of everything they do, whether they buy a candy bar, a shotgun, or go to a movie. And if they aren't behaving in accordance with your social merit matrix, as in China, you can cut them off and leave them high and dry. So I believe those were among the ingredients. it was a very clever ruse with social financing. The president of Zimbabwe, as I recall, tested, however, the coronavirus test on fruit and goats and motor oil. And except for the motor oil, they turned out positive. It turns out now in Brazil, you had members of the parliament go to a hospital which was supposed to have 5,000 patients, PK. And they found the hospital wasn't even completed in construction. It was empty. I mean, it's just outrageous what has been going on here. We had a state senator from Minnesota who's also a doctor report how he had a patient who died and he was told to assign COVID-19 as the cause of death, but he'd never been tested. And the American Medical Association is having hospitals given $13,000 for every patient they identify as COVID and $39,000 for every patient they put on a ventilator. I thought you were doing quite a masterful job of the broad sweep of the issues here, my friend. Please do continue.
I'll go back to the early stages. Just on China, amazingly, like they were the first in lockdown because that was the big thing. To tell the world that the lockdown is what's going to help us. They finished their lockdown, and can you believe it, virtually instantly, no more deaths. They went from being like in a horse race, you could say, you know, a furlong in front of every other country to now probably being 10, 12, 13 as far as deaths go. How does it – it just doesn't happen. It just – for days and days, not even a death in China after, being virtually the only country. And I just get, while I go there, Jim, Ted Ross, is that how you say Ted Ross? Is he from Ecuador, the president of the WHO? I get it mixed up. Ecuador, Ethiopia, one of the countries. I'll correct you before. It was a Tanzanian prime minister.
Ah, yes. Very good, yes.
Well,
my highest commendations. Brilliant, yeah. Brilliant.
There's always a couple countries. Like, I said before, Jim, how does every single country all at once follow the same rules? Lockdown, social distancing. It's like it's all been scripted. Surely there are more Tanzanians around that are going to say, hey, God, this is crap. We're not going to go this, but... That just shows that they're all in it together, as they say. We're all in this together. But go back to what I was saying. Oh, geez, what was I saying? I always lose track. I go from one to the other.
Sure. Well, you're saying now they were trying to take in all the countries, but there are always a few that are exceptions and they can't manage. It's a little more than herding cats, of course, when you're dealing with various nations, but certainly the enterprise has been to try to subsume the entire world and to at the same time diminish the world's population dramatically, where Ted Turner is a part of the scheme and he'd like to see a 95% of the world's population reduction, PK. That's like over 6 billion people Ted Turner would just as soon wipe from the face of the earth.
He must have built the Georgia Guidestones, did he?
He may have.
Yeah. Now I know where I was. Ted Ross. You mentioned Ted Turner. He brought up Ted Ross, our great friend at the WHO. Jim, I don't know if you know this, but go back to March 11 or 12 when he announced. What did he announce on the March 11th?
Oh,
or 12.
Remind me, PK. Remind me.
You know, he's the head of the WHO. The big announcement.
Well, we've had so many. I'm going to have to.
Okay. All right. Supposedly, he declared it a pandemic.
Oh, yeah. Right. Early on. And there were so few cases, there were hardly any outside of China.
You're right, Jim. But go back. Go watch this speech. Doesn't mention the word declare at all. He, in his own words, he said it has the characteristics of a pandemic. There is a big difference between being characterized and declared, Jim.
Indeed.
And straight away, the media, bang, the whole world's media within seconds. It was just like a news break, breaking news. The WHO declares that a pandemic. He never declared it a pandemic. until this day, they never had. But you were right, Jim. Countries didn't even have a death. Australia never had a death. Definitely India, 1.4 billion of it. Jim, I'll tell you how smart these people are. Even my brother, who I class as an intelligent guy, but he doesn't even have the internet, never has, he argued with me 2 weeks ago about this, and he says, millions of people are dying. Explain that. Millions of people are dying. I didn't even bother. I just said, so get out of it. 333,000, sorry. A third of a million is their supposed statistics on their, I'll get to that. A third of a million, that's just normal people dying every year. Where they fool everyone is cases, Jim, cases. They've used this thing, cases. You turn on it, I don't know if it's the same in America, the morning show, the news, here in Victoria, another 18 cases in the last 24 hours. 18 cases. Like that. I went to golf 3 days ago in the morning, driving to the golf, and I said, oh, 18 cases or 21 cases, 15 supposedly from a, I think it was another cruise ship or some shit, you know. 21. Then the next was some shooting, and the third item was Brazil at 20,000 cases in the last 24 hours. And we're worried about 21 cases starting a second wave. And as you know, Jim, that's what it's all about, the second wave. That's part of the script they've been telling. They said, oh, we cannot let you out of lockdown because this second wave's coming. And people says, yeah, let's just stay in lockdown. The government's doing a wonderful job. So cases, I don't give a stuff about cases, Jim. That means nothing to me. 98% of cases are just a common runny nose. I mean, give me deaths. I mean, I'm not asking for deaths, but I don't want to know about your millions and millions of cases. But the world, you can go down the street, Jim, and they got this thing in their head, millions and millions of people are dying. But no, the same amount of people are dying. No one's dying anymore. In other years, they've just changed the term from common cold or the flu to COVID-19. And isn't it good of them to change the term coronavirus to all of a sudden a COVID-19? It's a more scientific term because people are going to wake up to coronavirus being something, like I said at the start, we don't die from coronavirus. And the big thing, Jim, is, like you said, and I'm going to give you an example here. In America, the first 100 people to die, they were listed on a website, medical website in America. I made a video on this, and funny enough, it was removed. Like, I just clicked on my channel. I used to get videos six a day getting removed, Jim. Absolutely. I was putting them up there. I've had two channels removed in the last month. My last channel 10 days ago was removed. I didn't even have a strike. They are just stopping me from talking about this. And so I'll get away from that. America, the first 100 people that supposedly died from, I used the term from, coronavirus. They listed them in states, Jim. Every single one of them never had a name put next to it. No name. They'd have a person from whatever hospital next to it. A person from whatever hospital. They might say their age. A person or a patient. Where's the names, Jim? I mean, if someone dies in a stabbing here yesterday, bang, it's on the news. The name's there. Sandy Hook children, names already. The Orlando Pulse nightclub, 50 names already there.
Yes.
Why do they not give names of the supposed coronavirus victims?
Let me call you back as soon as the show's over.
Jim's just put himself on mute. Hang on a second. Sorry, Jim.
Go ahead, PK. Indeed.
Sorry. Yeah. So I'll just give you an example, Jim. This will knock your rocks off. One example, a 69-year-old man, I don't know what state it was, he went to hospital. He had, that's my memory, diabetes, emphysema, hypertension, atrial fibrillation, gastrointestinal bleeding. It's a pretty sick man, isn't he, Jim?
I would say.
He had a heart attack, Jim.
So he died of COVID?
No, he survived the heart attack, but he had a heart attack again the next day and died.
Sounds like another COVID patient to me.
Like I said, this is one of the this is the first 100 American people that died from COVID, from COVID-19.
I know, it's a joke.
They were even telling us, I made a video yesterday, here in Australia, I'll get to that in a second, but they're telling us they are using anyone that's tested positive. Jen, 95-year-olds are dying in nursing homes and being listed as COVID-19. You don't have an autopsy on someone that dies in a nursing home at 95. We accept they're going to die. They take them away and they bury them, you know. They don't do an autopsy on someone in an old-age nursing home. So I'm just going to mention Australia here. Australia's script in all this is we've got stringent lockdowns, and New Zealand as well. Hardly had a death. They are using Australia's lockdown to sell the lockdown system how it's great. We were predicted to have 100,000 deaths. America was 2 million, UK 1 million, all right? 100,000 deaths. It's nearly 6 months, Jim. We've had 102 deaths. 102 deaths in nearly 6 months. Population 25 million. It gets better. Victoria, the state I'm in, 6.4 million people. It's as big as a country in Europe. They never had a death till virtually late March, 2 weeks after lockdown. We had the most stringent lockdown rules in Australia. Everything was shut. We couldn't even play golf. We couldn't even go fishing. We couldn't even go to the beach. No deaths, Jim. Soon as this happened, 2 days later, can you believe our first deaths? Two people died. Two men died, can you believe it, in the same hospital, Jim, the Alfred Hospital. Guess what they died from? Cancer. Do you think COVID-19 killed them, or do you think the cancer killed them? So there's just classic proof. All right. As you know, Jim, we had, I don't know if you know, we'll get into the riots and all that. About 6 weeks ago, I went to a little protest on the steps of Parliament House on a Sunday. No, I actually didn't go, sorry, but it was all over, you know, the news of that. It was like 200 people there. A couple of people spoke. They had heaps of police. They arrested people just standing there talking on the microphone. They ambushed them, beat them up, took them away. They tried to start riots. People were, you know, screaming. The news promoted this as the protesters being the, you know, the troublemakers. No, there was no troublemaking. It was these police, the thugs, that just marched in and took away half a dozen people at a time and threw them in the vans. The news that night, the first thing that Rita says, one police officer was injured, three people charged for assaulting police. Garbage. They just turned it around to make it look like these protesters protesting against this, vaccines, whatever. And they make out anti-vaxxers, they're terrible people. Because they use that, they're doing the wrong thing. They're not abiding the social distancing laws. How evil are these anti-vaxxers, as you know, Jim? They're pro-choice. I've got a choice to put what I want in my body and what I don't want. We'll get to that later. But so then there was another protest 2-3 weeks later, which I went to. This is about four weeks ago. Was in the gardens outside in Melbourne. Me and my friends caught the tram up, cop cars everywhere. Like, what the hell's going on here? We got there, police like you cannot imagine. Horseback, motorbikes, vans, everywhere police. There's likely to be 250 people, placid people, women, old age people, just in the gardens there. They congregated, they tried to get everyone out. Move. It was horrifying to see, Jim. It just reminded me, you know, what it was like, in, you know, Gestapo, taking away, you know, poor people, putting them on trucks, taking them to camps. It reminded me of that. Innocent people doing nothing wrong, but everyone stayed quiet. So the news didn't report that as a violence, because that's what they want. They want to make out that these are violent protests. So 2 weeks ago, Jim, Black Lives Matter. All stemming, you can talk about this, you know, more about the George Floyd thing. My God. Tens of thousands in each state. They made out, the government made out, they didn't want that to happen, Jim. But they did. They did want the protests to happen. As you know, it's all about race. Here, the protest, God knows why, it was all of a sudden about the treatment of Aboriginals. Nothing to do with George Floyd, but it's all about race, black, white, divide and conquer. So these protests went on, 10,000 people in each state, people side by side for 3-4 hours in the city. Hang on, we're told social distancing laws, 6 feet. 6 feet. These people were together for 3 or 4 hours side by side. If this social distancing was real, we'd have thousands of people dying from this supposed coronavirus. But hang on, they were wearing masks. So I'm waiting for the big, because I know they want to use this for the second wave, but how are they going to use this, Jim? They're all wearing masks. So it took a week before they said, oh, one guy tested positive. One guy out of 10,000 in Melbourne tested positive the next day, which was a Sunday, when no one goes to a doctor on a Sunday, but he managed to, and the results were straight away tested positive. But they said, oh, he tested positive. He had this virus before the march. And how dare he go to the march and spread this virus, even though he had a mask and everyone else has got a mask. So that was one person. As of yesterday, there's three. What they're going to do about it, I don't know. I'll tell you what I did on Monday. 5 days ago, this is 9 days after the event, I made a phone call to the health minister, federal health minister, Greg Hunt's office, and I questioned why there's no one dying from these protests when you're telling me, when I'm in a supermarket queue, I've got to stand 6 feet behind this person in front of me for 1 or 2 minutes, where the story goes is, if you're within 6 feet of someone, you have to be with them for 20 minutes to have any chance of catching this virus. They can make up any story, but that's their story. I'm there for 2 minutes, but people are wearing masks, 6 feet. So this woman said, oh, yeah, no one's dying or whatever because it has to be 14 days. They love the 14 days. So I said, okay, I'll call you next Monday. That'll be 16 days. Let's just see how many people die from this protest. Because according to, like I said, stringent laws, people should be dropping dead like flies. But the trouble, Jim, they want people to die and get the numbers up, but they don't want too many cases where no one's dying, if you know what I mean. And they're in a situation here. If they say people died at this protest, hang on, the mask, and it's useless. All of a sudden, you're going to go, why is everyone wearing a mask if people are dying? It's not helping them. And so that somehow they're going to, I don't know how they're going to fudge this, but Jim, 102 people as of today have died in Australia. Go back 1 month, it's still 102. No one has died in Australia in 1 month. And yet, all I am hearing is crisis, COVID crisis, pandemic. We cannot let you out of lockdown. Keep the flattening the curve. No one has died in, Jim, you're not going to believe this. 3 weeks ago, in the state of Queensland, a 30-year-old guy died in his bed. He had so many underlying health conditions you cannot believe. He hadn't worked for 7 months. He was virtually bedridden, dying for 7 months, and he died in his bed. He died. The premier of that state got out on a press conference to announce the death of a 30-year-old dying from, hang on, what's a big deal? A press conference by a premier to announce someone that's died from coronavirus? What about someone who died from cancer, you know, just an hour ago? Well, no, we're not going to worry about that. So the story was he tested positive and died. Jim, they were busted. They were busted. They had to change their story 2 days later. He didn't test positive all of a sudden. There was contamination in the testing, was their excuse. No, it wasn't. The family said, this is bullshit. He didn't die from COVID-19. Wake up. So That number went to 103. 2 days later, they brought it down to 102, which has sat there for the last 4 weeks. And, Jim, going by the medical chart here in Australia, one person under 50, that is 65% of the, 70% of the population, one person has died from COVID-19. And this is a pandemic. You know who this one person was, Jim?
Tell me.
April 17th, he was a crew member of the Artania, another cruise ship that just happened to catch this virus. He docked in Fremantle in a port in Western Australia. He was sick on the ship. They took him off, tested positive, died that night or the next night. A Filipino 42-year-old who doesn't even live in Australia. He's on the cruise ship. He is used as an Australian statistic. Why? Because they cannot get numbers from younger people. That's why they were. They used this 30-year-old that I just mentioned. They want to somehow say, oh, it's going to affect everyone. Because when you look at it, Jim, you take away that 42-year-old, not one single person under 50. It gets even better. Two people under 60. Two people out of those 102 were under 60. That is 85, nearly 90% of the Australia's population, which is 20, 21 million out of 25 million, have not been affected by this shit, and yet schools have been locked down for months when not one single child is affected. Healthy children, sporting people in their teens, their 20s and 30s who play sport, football, basketball, whatever, whatever, they've been in lockdown, haven't been able to play sport, affecting everyone's lives. No one is at risk under 60, and yet this is all happening. Jim, 12 people over 90 out of the 102, 12 people. That, and the stats show that 90% of the people who have died, those 12 and people from the supposed cruise ships and planes that have come, that's the other thing. They allowed a few planes to come from China, whatever, for a few weeks and you know, didn't worry about people coming off because they had to use that as a reason why this thing spread. 90% of people were either from a cruise ship or a plane or in an old aged care home, 90%. And we have to shut down the whole country. The economy is gone. Small businesses are finished. People, they don't talk about this, Jim. As you know, a cure is worse than the disease. They aren't talking about the suicide rates that have skyrocketed, mental problems, family disputes, fights, you name it. Poor children don't know what's going on with their lives. No social reaction by children. Even now, you go back to school, you're going to stand 6 feet away or however. It's just absolutely absurd. So that's it. 102 people, and even New Zealand hardly had a death, and the lockdown was just as bad. And now they made some story up yesterday that two people caught or tested positive, big deal, and now that tranny Prime Minister Ardern has brought in the military so they can knock on anyone's door to make sure people are quarantining. And that's in a phone call I made. I said to this woman, I want to get tested positive, okay? If I get tested positive, what do I have to do? Oh, you have to go into quarantine for 2 weeks. Oh, really? So that's going to cure me? The bug's going to go away in 2 weeks? Oh, it should. Oh, really? So after 2 weeks, what happens? Do I get tested again? Oh, yeah, you're going to keep getting tested. That's where it's all crap, Jim, because once it's inside you, the coronavirus, it's always there. They just want to, they can amplify it up. The test results mean nothing. They just make the numbers up they want to be. So every 2 weeks I'm going to get tested, am I? Then I said, all right, what if I don't test positive? What if I test negative? What do I do? Oh, you're still going to go into isolation in the lockdown. I said, what's the frigging difference? I'm still going to be locked away for 2 weeks. Oh, no, quarantining means you're not allowed to go anywhere. I says, who's going to stop me? Oh, the police are going to check out on you. What, the police are going to check out on me that I lock myself up for 2 weeks and not go out? Oh, yeah. That's the stupidity of this. So, I know, I've gone on. Jim, we can get onto the riots and how that was plan B. for all this, you know, if you agree with me.
Oh, yeah, sure. You've been doing a great job of sort of like a pizza supreme with everything together, all the ingredients that you have been describing here for this fraudulent exercise that is, I think, in large part in the U.S., also a Democrat's last desperate effort to try to defeat Trump. I don't think they have a prayer. Their candidate is cognitively impaired, but they're worried because recent polls that showed 40% of black likely voters were prepared to vote for Trump. So I think by exacerbating racial relations, they're hoping to regain support of the black community. But most black families are relatively conservative, and they are just as appalled and aghast at all of this rioting and looting and statue destroying as suburban families, including white suburban women. I think the Democrats are performing an act of political self-immolation comparable to the Buddhist monks protesting the Vietnam War.
Just from an outsider, Jim, this Democrat Republic thing, I think it's all a circus. It's all a circus. They're both there together. Look, you can tell me your opinion of Trump, but you're telling me that Joe Biden, you didn't mention his name. What are your thoughts on Joe? Creepy Joe.
He's brain damaged. I mean, he was a terrible candidate anyway. I mean, PK, for 30 years and three presidential elections, he'd never won a single primary or a single caucus. And all of a sudden, in South Carolina, he comes alive because Jim Rayburn says, this is the man. It was Google manipulating the vote by sending out vote reminders to blacks to get out and vote for the guy who was the vice president to Barack Obama. And they kept it up and kept it up. Biden's a pathetic candidate. He has vast weaknesses. And he's so badly impaired today, he can't even speak for 5 minutes with a teleprompter without committing a major gaffe. A new survey shows about 55% of the public believes he's in the early stages of dementia.
Well, that makes him a perfect candidate. I don't know. There's the betting market. I don't know if you've ever seen that. Who would be the favorite? Who would be the favorite for the next president, according to you?
Oh, Trump's going to win hands down. I don't think there's any question about it. I mean, they require... They're trying to promote vote by mail because that's the easiest way to manipulate. Google's going to give 15 million votes if the Democrats run a corpse. And, you know, a large segment of the black community without which the Democrats can't win dog catcher is going to support Trump for a whole host of reasons. He's improved their situation economically, and he's cut off the immigration from the South, which is stolen away the jobs they had, which were incidentally wages for the lowest earning wage earners were rising at the highest rate in history, PK. Trump's actually done a lot of good for the people. I know that, look, there are plenty even here who are fans of the show who aren't enthusiastic about Trump. I actually think he's doing a lot of good for the country.
Jim, if this might shock you, the betting market here, I'm sure it's the same around the world. Like $2 is an even bet, all right? Trump, who was favorite, like at $1.90 months ago, I believe should have been like $1.10. 10 for yours, 1 for mine. That's how certain it should have been. He has gone out to $2.40. Second favorite, Mr. Biden, has shortened into $1.85. Odds on favorite. So do they know something?
No, but Biden's completely incompetent. They can't even actually nominate him. He's got enough delegates to secure the nomination, but they can't possibly. Trump would turn him into mincemeat on the debate stage, PK. There's so much propaganda. The U.S. media and the pollsters are so massively controlled. It's stunning.
We know that, Jim. We know that Trump, hands down, should win. But the betting markets are telling us Biden's going to win it. So should I be putting every single cent on Trump to make easy money?
Biden's, yeah, sure, yeah. Yes, go ahead, yes.
My friend is
Biden doesn't have a prayer. He doesn't have a ghost of a chance. It's an illusion.
Well, there's a reason why the odds are like that. I heard something, I don't know if you could tell me this. The Democrats will win, and will win and with Biden, but apparently he's going to stand aside and allow guess who to become president. Is that possible? Do you know who that guess who is?
I was distracted. PK, repeat.
Apparently the Democrats are going to win.
No, not a chance.
This is what I'm hearing.
No.
And then Biden is going to stand aside and let another certain person become president. You know who I'm talking about?
PK, they'd have to be on the ticket with him, and there's no Hillary would love to be president, of course. There's been a vast amount of speculation that Michelle might be brought out to be the wunderkind to save the party. Look, the Democrats are in such dire straits. Frankly, in my opinion, they haven't got a prayer, PK, not a prayer.
It's a circus, Jim. It is a circus, and you're playing into it. But, yeah, Hillary, they say, is going to become president. Where do they get these horrible people? You got 330 million, and you got Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, and we'll leave Trump out, but we go back, you had Bill Clinton, you had the Bushes. They're the most horrible people you could ever imagine. And yet, how are they being chosen to be the, you know, the head of the country? It's just beyond belief. Anyway, Jim, you want to get into George Floyd and tell me, I'll be asking you questions now. Who is George Floyd? Did he really die? What's the story?
My best guess is he attended his own funeral, as did some of the Sandy Hook kids, PK. It looks as though it may have even been a mannequin in the street when they put him up on the stretcher, which ought to have been done by EMTs, not by police. He appeared to be missing his legs. We have photographs when he's arrested, and you can see his discernible hair, but the figure lying on the street is completely bald. We have a mannequin that looks exactly like the body, the presumptive body lying in the street. It was done with multiple takes. The officer who's been indicted is not the same as the officer whose knee was on the neck. I mean, it goes on and on. I did a nice piece with Nick Kohlerstrom of the UK, who's quite an expert like yourself on false flags. And, you know, it's just devastating how many ways you can show that this was a fabricated event.
Jim, I put up a video on that a couple of days ago, and I took it down within minutes, where there was an image showing he had a bit of hair. And then when he's being kneeled on, he's completely bald.
Yeah.
But it looked like he had a little bit of hair on it. But then people called me out on it, and they said, oh, have a look at this. And you can actually see when he got initially arrested that he's pretty bald.
So, well, his hair is cut pretty short, PK. But look, there's a lot going on here. And, you know, there's so many ways photos can be affected. But he gets in one side of the vehicle, then we find him on the other side. I mean, I'm telling you, once you got him in the vehicle, you should have taken him to the precinct if you're going to book him. Everything was non-standard. Everything was rigged about this, PK.
So the story goes he went to buy something with a $20 counterfeit note. Is that real?
Well, that it was. He was suspected of having a counterfeit 20. Yeah, I think that was supposed to be the official reason, but...
That's a real reason to kneel on him and kill him, is it? I mean,
No. This training with the Israeli, the IDF and all that with this kneel-on technique is absurd. It's a very, very bad idea to send U.S. police forces to Israel because they train then the U.S. cops to treat American citizens the way the Israelis treat Palestinians, which is, of course, with utmost brutality and lack of concern or sympathy. No empathy from the Israelis to the Palestinians. American cops historically have pretty friendly relations with the citizens they're protecting, and by and large they are. And of course, all the data is ridiculous for these racial riots. You have like 50 times more blacks killing blacks than you have even whites killing whites is an incident, very small percentage. And the idea of whites killing blacks, PK, it's minuscule. There are 50 times more blacks killing blacks than whites killing blacks. Those are very rare. Tucker observed, for example, in all of last year, there were 10 cases, I believe, where a black man was shot by a white cop. And in one day in Chicago, there were 18 shootings in Chicago in one day. This gets into very intricate issues about gun control and policing policies, but, you know, there it is.
Jim, we see someone filming this guy. And he was calm as anything. He accepted being arrested and just walking him around. He wasn't aggressive. And the next thing, we see him on the curb with the guy kneeling on him. I mean, how did all of a sudden he become non-aggressive? Even when he's on the ground, Jim, what's this? I can't breathe. Is that linking something to, the respiratory problems with COVID-19? But why is the guy kneeling on his neck when the guy wasn't even resisting him? And that Mr. Floyd is a big guy. And if you could not get yourself off someone kneeling on you, there's something wrong.
So, oh, yeah. Floyd was like 6'5 and must have been 300 pounds anyway.
Yeah, but his coffin was only 6 foot long. Did they fold him in half or chop his legs off?
I know. That's a good question. That's a great point, PK. I love it. By the way, we're drawing near. I want to be sure to give the number, though I'm bringing in my second special guest this evening to talk about the shooting in Atlanta, which can be contrasted with what happened to George Floyd. The number, because Mitchell is here, 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. But hold off on the calls until I have a chance to bring in Danny Saras, who, by the way, has an expensive background in law enforcement and has been one of the most popular guests on this show, PK, where Danny actually has done a previous analysis of other cases, including the Kobe Bryant plane crash. We'll be right back with Danny Saras and PK.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Feel that things were not quite right, that everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Danny, are you there? This is Danny Suris is my second guest to give us an update about the shooting in Atlanta, Georgia, which is such a pressing issue that I wanted him to join the show tonight with what he's got. Danny, give us your latest.
Yeah, hi, Dr. Fetzer. How are you? Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Great, great. Really enjoyed your first guest, PK. I'm not sure how I'm going to follow a performance like that. I'm quite, he might as well do a mic drop after that, but I'll do my best today, sir.
Good, 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 Danny.
So to start off with the Atlanta thing, as always, you know, when we look into these things, I've found hundreds and hundreds of anomalies through the entire story. I'm not quite sure where to start at what end, whether it's the official narrative or the behind the scenes. Which side of the spectrum?
Well, give us the official narrative so we can then see what was wrong with it. Yeah, go.
Okay, well, the official narrative that they're trying to spin or push on us is quite concocted. You know, the officer really didn't make any mistakes. I can nitpick a few things he did wrong with the stop. But he gave him the breathalyzer test. You know, everything was cool and calm, as the DA says, until he whispers the magic words, "You're going to jail," and he pulls out the handcuffs. And then, of course, the suspect knew he was going back to prison again. He had been in jail many, many times. And because of that, it's called spooking. So he spooked and knew he was going to lose his freedom. The most dangerous time when you arrest a suspect is right when you go to pull out the handcuffs and you whisper the magic words, "You're under arrest," because at that time their freedom is gone and they know it. And that's when you have to be on alert, when you say the words and pull the cuffs.
And this was a pretty strong guy, Danny. I mean, he put up quite a fight.
Yeah, I saw he punched one of the officers in the face. You know, the fight was a little strange. I'm not going to go in and break down the whole fight on your show.
Go ahead.
It really just didn't look like they were fighting that hard.
Oh, really? You think it was staged?
Well, I don't know if I'm going to call the fight staged, but, you know, the officers really, you know, they're trained in grappling techniques, things like that. I didn't see any holds being applied. You know, there was no...
Could they have been ginger because of the George Floyd business and all the riots, that they were treating him more gently than they otherwise might have?
They were definitely ginger, sir. That would be a good phrase in the way they were handling him. There was no blows thrown. You know, I was disappointed. I didn't see any of them deploy pepper spray. That would have taken him out right away. They all have pepper spray at the handy right there in the front of their belt. There's a lot of things that they probably could have done. So I'm just suspect of the fight. But even moving past that, the suspect did grab a taser, okay? And he did run after punching the officer in the face. So that's armed robbery, armed strong arm robbery right there. They actually could have shot him legally right there on the spot as soon as he grabbed the taser when they were on the ground. They didn't even have to wait. So this whole notion that the officer pre-planned this whole thing is complete BS. And we'll get into the DA in a minute. He's just fabricating charges as he goes. But when the suspect takes off running, they run 100 yards, maybe a little longer, and then the suspect turns around and actually fires the taser at the officer. You can see the dart go right over his head. And at the same time, that's when the officer went ahead and let the rounds go. He shot three times. One of them hit the ground, bounced off the ground, and went into the side of a car, which the DA was charging him for that stray round. That's impossible. That's never heard of. The second round, they're reporting, hit him in the butt, and then the third round hit him in the center back, and that was the deadly round that ended up killing him. Right after that, he ran as fast as he could back to his car to get his med pack. So he had to sprint about 150 yards back to his vehicle to get the med pack.
The cop, yeah. The cop.
Then he sprinted back to the suspect. That's his training. And he applied CPR. And, of course, the DA accused him of delaying and applying the CPR because he had to run and go get his med pack.
That's just absurd, yes.
Yeah, that's standard training that you grab. Every officer has a med trauma pack in their trunk. It's part of their equipment when you check out every day. And the fact that he's saying he took too long to sprint and in video and go get the med pack and come back and perform the CPR. And you can hear the CPR being performed in the camera. So the whole thing, you know, it is made up. It's convoluted.
So
go ahead, sir.
You're telling me the DA is pulling a political stunt here. He has no bona fide basis to charge the officer who actually handled himself commendably by and large.
Yeah, he handled himself, sir, so by the book, it was almost comical. You know, the DA, if we go in that direction, the district attorney had just given a lecture to the press 2 weeks ago where he cited the many Supreme Court cases that are law. And the reason why a taser is deadly force when a suspect uses it on the officer, even a baton, a knife, any instrument that can incapacitate an officer, the reason why it is now deadly force is because the person could incapacitate the officer, grab his firearm, use it on the officer, and use it on his partners or somebody else in the scene, especially when he's a fleeing felon. And the Supreme Court has ruled on this hundreds and hundreds of times. This isn't something new. I could show you video after video of officers, one case in particular where they just shot a guy in Florida during a traffic accident in Florida, and they had to shoot him because he grabbed one of the tasers from the officer because he didn't want to go to jail. And there was no riots. There was no charges for the officer. This is actually quite a common occurrence. For the DA to come out with these murder charges, the CBI, the State Police of Georgia, and also the police department are running two separate investigations. And they came out and they were absolutely shocked at the DA coming out with murder charges that carry the death penalty before the investigation was even finished.
What do we know about this DA, Danny?
Well, I can tell you quite a bit. The district attorney, well, let me just finish that point.
Yeah.
Murder requires pre-planning and forethought with malice.
Sure.
So what he's saying is that the officer, when he woke up that morning, had planned somehow to get a call to go meet with this George Floyd and planned out the whole murder the whole entire way. That's absolutely ridiculous, and that's why police officers are never charged with murder. They're charged with some form of manslaughter, whether it's manslaughter one, two, involuntary. There's no way to prove that he premeditated and planned an event to a random call that he responded to. So that is complete BS. But what we do know about the DA is I'm starting to suspect that he's being blackmailed. He has two separate sexual cases that he is being investigated for, and they are not good, and they are career ending, and they are ongoing. And it's really interesting in light of these sexual cases, and then with all this pressure of George Floyd, he comes out with these crazy concocted murder one charges, and he comes out with the one round that missed that hit the side of the car. He's calling him reckless endangerment. No officer is ever charged for a round that misses the target during a firefight. You know, he's absolutely being ridiculous. He's worse than the judge in the Flynn case. He is completely falling on his sword. He's coming up for re-election pretty soon. And he has completely stepped out of his bounds in this case. The whole world is watching this. He is on his press conference. He went out of his way to fabricate, sir. He actually is fabricating evidence that does not exist while also hiding from the public the exculpatory evidence that shows that the officer did not do anything wrong. He hid most of the video from the public about the trauma pack. He tried to say he kicked the suspect in the head when in fact all he did was kick the taser out of his hand. And he is doing, he's going out of his way to commit major, major forms of perjury on national TV to prop up an event when he knows there's no charges and there's nothing to this event.
You make a very convincing case that the problem here is the DA, not the officer, Danny. I'll bet you anything PK has a question or two he'd like to put to you, so I want to invite PK to go ahead. And if you have any thoughts about this case, PK, Danny's here.
Well, it's the first I've heard about it. I don't know when this happened, but I'll just tell you straight out, it's all staged. It's not a coincidence that in the last month or so, there's a lot of things happening with police. It's all being filmed. It's not just the George Floyd thing that set the whole thing on fire. There's this 75-year-old Buffalo guy being pushed over as feebly as you can and supposedly, you know, split his head open. This is happening in London. This is happening in America. Even in Australia, Jim, there's incidents where cops are being shown to be violent, being attacked, vice versa. I'm just going to tell you something. I haven't actually spoken about this, and I've got to be very careful, because as you know, I'm on the list here in Australia as regards to speaking out on things.
You're a dangerous fellow, my friend.
Yeah, well, don't associate with me. You could get into trouble.
Too late.
Too late, all right. I'll tell you here right now, we had an incident 5 weeks ago, maybe six, where on a quiet Friday afternoon on one of our main freeways where everyone's in lockdown and traffic is very light, apparently a truck rammed into, I'll tell you in a second, rammed and killed four police. Did you hear about that story?
No, don't go. Go ahead, repeat.
Well, let's just say it was on a straight bit of road, four lanes. A truck apparently went from the outside lane to the emergency lane where just by chance there was a guy in a Porsche that was pulled over by two traffic cops, a woman and a guy in his first week of duty. They tested him for drugs, but apparently he didn't test positive, but he tested positive for alcohol in his system. So they called for backups, another two cops, which is ridiculous. Never would you need four cops to have someone that's just been tested for drink driving. So the story goes that cop came along as well. They waited there for how many minutes? So there's the Porsche on the side of the road with a cop car right behind him and a second cop car right behind him. As you know, the emergency lanes aren't too wide. So apparently this truck right in that position, the driver lost control somehow, and he ran straight into the back of the two cop cars without braking. The cop cars seem to both have disappeared, and the end of the truck is sitting in the backside of the Porsche. And the story goes that this truck was going 100 kilometres an hour, yet it managed to stop immediately when it hit this Porsche. I don't know what the Porsche was made of, but it made the truck stop within a split second. And suppose the two cop cars were only metres away, which is ridiculous as it sounds. So the four cops were killed, Jim, but the driver of the Porsche never died. Do you know why he didn't die?
Tell us.
You're not going to believe this. This is the official story. He was relieving himself.
Off to the side. Love it. Danny, is all right to go ahead and open the lines for callers, or would you like to add more? You're welcome to add more while I repeat the number. 540-352-4452. You'll reach Mitchell, who'll get you on with us. Question for PK or Danny. 540-352-4452. Danny.
Yes, Dr. Fetzer. I'd also like to add that, as I've said on many of your shows now, everybody that lives in the United States, and this is very important, so I want to preface this, everybody that lives in the United States has an electronic footprint. Okay, they were born, they have birth certificates, they have driver's licenses, marriage licenses, they have licenses for their job, depending on what they do, they have an address, they own automobiles.
Sure, documentary record now online for the most part, yes.
Yes, sir. So when I do an extensive background to the records that I have access to, and I have access to extensive law enforcement records,
yes,
I can see everything about everybody. And it's just the way it is. I'm not saying it's right, you know, but it's just the way life is. And I've done an extensive background, sir, on both these officers that are part of this Atlanta shooting.
Yeah.
And here's what I want to tell you that's very important. If we start off with a cop that was the shooter, his name was Garrett Rolfe, okay? I've even found personal video of his on YouTube under a different name, which I believe I sent you. The problem with his background, sir, there's many things. The first thing is Atlanta PD reports that he had been there 7 years. Okay, we know that's a lie. And the reason why is when I look in his background, that would make him 20 years old. And there's no way he was a cop working for Atlanta PD at 20 years old. The second reason is that he was in college and didn't graduate till late 2015. So there's no way he started to work for Atlanta till after that time somewhere that he graduated college. So they got the stories totally skewed about his experience and how long he's been a police officer.
Danny, do you have to be a college graduate to be a police officer in Atlanta?
Most departments now require at least 60 units or a 2-year AA degree. I don't know any departments in the country that don't at least require that. And many departments now require a 4-year degree. It just depends on the agency and the state.
Okay.
But moving on, sir, what's important about his background, this is very important to understand this, is when you look at his background, his job history does not say he works for the city of Atlanta or has anything to do with Atlanta. He doesn't have a job history like that at all. As a matter of fact, he just recently opened up a corporation in April, and the corporation says he's an organizer for a security company. So there is no cop that would open up a private C corporation and then say he's an organizer. He just filed those articles of incorporation with the state of Georgia. So there'd be no reason for a police officer to do that. There's no job history whatsoever. He doesn't even own a vehicle. When I did a backtrace on his email address and everything else about him, he doesn't even own a vehicle in his name. He has no vehicle. I've never seen a police officer that doesn't own a vehicle. He lives in an apartment building. You know, it's a very strange setup. But again, his fingerprint doesn't match. And more importantly, sir, I'll say this. Every officer has what's called a law enforcement credential with the state. You cannot be a police officer if you don't have the credential. Same as you can't be a doctor without a license. You can't be a lawyer without a license.
Yeah.
You know, you need a license for many kinds of jobs, right? If you're going to be a CPA, you have to have a CPA license. Or if you're a nurse, you got to have a license with the state to be a nurse. He has no law enforcement credentials, sir. None.
Huh. He's
an absolute ghost. There's a major, major problem with his background. That's what I'm saying.
So do you think these are fictional cops?
Well, sir, all I'm saying is I'm not quite ready to say that, but he did make some fundamental mistakes during the stop that makes me suspicious. I've talked to several officers about these mistakes that have critiqued the video. They've seen the same sort of mistakes, but it's a tough call. He doesn't actually issue the magic words. He doesn't tell him you're under arrest. That's part of the training. He just says, I don't feel that you're safe to drive, and he goes to cuff him without actually saying you're under arrest. And I don't know too many cops that would ever do that. There's a few other nitpick things he does. Like, for instance, he asks him to volunteer for the breathalyzer. No officer usually does that. They would just have it in their pocket or pull it out and say, hey, I need you to blow in this, and then take it from there. Nobody ever asked the suspect, hey, would you please consider blowing in my breathalyzer? You just don't do that. You control the situation.
Yeah, very, very interesting, Danny. We do have
I can nitpick it all day, but let's talk about Brosnan, sir, the second officer.
Go ahead.
When I look at him, they say he's only been on the department a few years. Well, here's another problem. This guy, Brosnan, is a real person. Okay, he was born. He has a background. But the problem is his entire background is in the state of Massachusetts. He has no fingerprint whatsoever inside of Georgia. And his job history says he works for a college. He actually works in the cafeteria and has had some other jobs inside of this particular college. I won't say the name. And he has no job history. He actually has nothing in Georgia. He has no law enforcement credential whatever, sir. He does have a college degree, but he has no law enforcement in his college degree.
Danny, that's all pretty damn fascinating, frankly. It sounds to me the whole thing was orchestrated, staged, fake part. Do you think that the victim is actually dead? Do you think this is a real death?
The problem with the victim, sir, is he is real. Okay, so just to finish off with the second officer, his background does not fit. It's way off. Again, his current employment records where he's receiving pay is from a college in Massachusetts. His home address, sir, is there. His whole history is there. He has no fingerprint. If he would have been working in Georgia, he would have all kinds of fingerprints with automobiles, residences, telephones. All his phone numbers are even in Massachusetts, sir. He doesn't even have a Georgia phone number. That's just not the way.
Doesn't even have a Georgia phone number?
No, every time I do a background check on a cop, the first thing I see is a law enforcement credential. I can see who he works for, what his rank is, and how long he's worked there. It comes up every time, and I do this for a litmus test. I'll pick an officer from a department, I'll run his background, and there it is. There's his credential. But how come with these events we always get these ghosts? There's always these anomalies. They don't exist. They're not real cops. They don't have a firearms license. They don't have a car, you know.
Danny, I love it all. I love it all. I want to bring in our first caller, who is Dominic from New York. Dominic, join the conversation with PK,
hello,
Danny,
Doc,
and me.
Thank you for letting me call in.
Of course.
I just wanted to address getting some background noise there.
Go ahead.
Are you hearing me double?
Yeah, we can hear you fine. Go ahead, Dominic.
Okay. I want to address your first guest.
PK.
Was awesome.
Sure.
And I just want to relate a story locally where I live in upstate New York. And I personally know a county executive. We have county executives in New York. And he reports only what he's told to report as far as deaths on COVID-19. But he makes sure he puts in there every time that there are 70, 80, 90. We've only had like one death, supposedly, from somebody that's 50, and two are like 60, right? But he's reporting the truth the best that he can, because every day I check it, it's people in their 80s and 90s with underlying conditions, and he's reporting that, you know?
Yeah.
So he's trying to be honest about it. So I'm just trying to back up what your first guest was saying, that it's all bullshit.
Yes.
No matter what you die from, you know, now, you had COVID-19, right?
Yep, that's right. Even if you're a suicide or a victim of murder.
Yeah.
BK,
right.
Your thoughts?
Right. But as far as this,
use to this, there's from and with. From, you die from something, which means that's what killed you, or you died with something. And all these COVID supposed deaths, people are dying with COVID, with all the underlying conditions such as heart attack, cancer. They are the things that are killing the person, but because they have supposedly coronavirus in their system, they will be listed as a COVID-19 statistic. They're telling us, the health experts with Donald Trump, they're saying that. Here in Australia, they're saying the same thing. They're saying it worldwide. People are just not taking it in. I'll give you a classic example where they use Italy as the numbers were high early. It came out in a medical report in Italy within weeks of all these deaths that 99% of those people that died, the thousands that supposedly died, 99% of it either had one, two, three, or four underlying health conditions, and they all had to be reclassified. But, of course, they're not going to do that because we've got this thing, the Johns Hopkins Institute, that's got a worldometer, a magical system that you can look up on the internet, which just has an hourly statistic on virtually every country in the world where they get given the cases, the deaths, the so many statistics. You're telling me every single country in the world is on the hotline and rigging the Johns Hopkins Institute, giving them information of all positive cases. It is all baloney.
I think you got
the only reason. The only reason I called was because I personally know this county executive. I'm a friend of his brother's.
Yeah.
I'm a friend of his brother's.
Yes.
And he's in a club, private club, that I'm a member of.
Yes.
So I know the guy is honest and good.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So I know he's trying to put out the truth, but he can only report what they're telling him. But he's making sure that he's always mentioning that, the last one that died was in their 90s in a nursing home, when they're in lying conditions, right? But more important thing, and then I'll let it go because I know you got a lot of smarter guys than me that want to call in. But what do you people think, both guests and Dr. Fetzer, who is running this massive world psyop? I mean, this was never done before. A massive world psyop.
Yeah, well, PK can take a shot. I mean, it's a globalist. People like Henry Kissinger, Hillary Clinton, Bill Gates, Ted Turner, David Rockefeller, the Rothschilds. They want to get a whole world on internet banking, all digital banking, no cash. They want to, they're basically for no borders, no nation states, no different currencies, so you don't have to go through exchange and all that. And they have nefarious plans for the future. Go ahead.
Dr. Fetzer, you just ran an article from Preston James, I believe. Is that correct?
Not too recently, but I certainly have run.
Well, he's saying it's the Khazarian Mafia, who we know who that is, right?
Well,
it's the Jews. It's the Jews.
Yeah. Well, I think this is maybe even higher level, believe it or not, Dominic. I appreciate your thoughts. PK, did you want to address who is responsible and why?
Exactly what you said, Jim. All those plus George Soros.
Yeah.
They're the wealthy people. You could even go the royal families, the Vatican, the people that have had control of this planet for centuries and centuries. The deep state, the people that we don't even know, are they in underground cities? Is that why they spray the skies? Because they're, immune to that. But, yeah, exactly. It's the people that we don't know. People we probably never ever seen in our lives who control everyone.
Good.
Just quickly, I want something when he mentioned about death certificates. It's true that those who actually signed them, who, like your friend who are doing the right thing, but they're the next day or whatever are being overwritten by others. Changing them from whatever the real death, and next day others are overriding it and adding COVID-19. And that's what they're doing.
You can die with COVID-19 just as you could die with a tattoo, but that doesn't mean the COVID or the tattoo killed you.
If you've got cancer and you die in a car crash, you die from the car crash. You didn't die from cancer, but they're going to put you down as a cancer patient, cancer death.
Dominic, I'm glad you called in, my friend.
Sorry. Thank you, Dr. Fetzer.
Thank you, Dominic. We have a second caller here, Corey. Corey, go ahead and join the conversation.
Oh, hi, Jim. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah, I got a new setup here. Okay, I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, PK Truth and Russian Vids. I've learned so much from you guys over the past couple of years. I can't thank you enough.
Well, those are very kind words. Yeah, PK's been out there right on the forefront, in the trenches, hand-to-hand combat, doing quite a job of it, too, I must say.
And I have two questions for you, PK. The fires in Australia, okay, we've had California fires here, and in Canada, I'm calling from Canada. We've had fires in Fort McMurtry. What do you think about this? As far as I'm concerned, we've had these directed energy weapons, DOES, creating these fires. What do you think about this? Also, I'm always mystified about the CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation here in Canada. And it seems to me like it's something like the Australian Broadcasting Corporation and the BBC in England. I mean, these are not controlled by Zionist powers, you know, companies and stuff like that. How are they able to kind of basically communicate to me in Canada information that I can get from from CNN? It seems to be all the same kind of stuff. So anyway, there's two questions. What's the commonality between the fires in Australia, California, and Canada, and the BBC or the ABC in Australia, the BBC and the CBC in Canada?
By the way, Corey, PG&E has pled guilty and is paying some vast fine for responsibility for the fires that killed 84 people in California. It appears to me to have been their smart meters that precipitated those fires that, you may recall, burned only the houses completely to the ground and left the surrounding flora and fauna intact. I mean, it was really a remarkable phenomenon. PK, go ahead.
All right, I'll answer the second one. Sorry, there was an echo.
No, you're fine. Go ahead.
Yeah, obviously the media's controlled. They're all controlled by the same two, ABC, BBC, CBC. The ABC here is a leftist controlled by the government, you know. The taxpayers fund it, but it's biased. It supports whatever party they want. But anyway, the fires in Australia, as you know, we have many fires going over the years. And when I was a kid, they had fires here in the mountain range just outside of Melbourne. And they burned for days and days and days, slow burning. The things have changed. Go back 8 years, something like that. We had a massive fire called the Black Saturday fires. It was a very hot day, but apparently four fires started virtually at the same time in Victoria, outside of Melbourne, and they just went through towns like you cannot believe, like whoosh, took out towns. It was a new wave of fire, and I put that down to the spraying of our skies, chemtrailing, with the heavy metals, barium, strontium, lithium, aluminium, which are obviously coming down and sitting on vegetation all across the country and highly inflammable. So when fires are started, bang, they just go up like an inferno as opposed to the traditional way of just...
Do you think that's part of the chemtrails, PK, to lay the foundation for fires of great intensity?
That's one of the parts of the chemtrails amongst many more.
Yes.
It's part. So they do want to burn Australia out. There are reasons for it. Just like California, they perfectly went down the east coast of Australia where they want to build a rail network system. They want to create smart cities, which Melbourne now is a smart city. There's cameras, there's you name it, everywhere in Melbourne. Like Melbourne, Australia, they are the guinea pig country or state of the world where they try all these events and they work there. They put them in other countries. We have the car attacks and all that shit here. But, yeah, they burned the east all of a sudden. Nowhere else in Australia, but just so happened these fires went on the south, on the east coast of Australia, perfectly in line with where they want the rail system to be because they want the farmers off the land, easier to get them off. The insurance is too high to pay because of fires there. So they'll sell the land for, you know, a pound and virtually take it over. The Chinese will come in, buy up all the land, start growing their stuff on the farms. All the good stuff will be imported into China.
But do you think they're doing using directed energy weapons, the DOES, to do all this in California, Canada, and Australia?
100%. We've seen images of strange flashes starting up these fires, and like in California, there's parts where trees are still standing, and yet inside engulfed other houses, whatever, cars incinerated, but you know. it's just ridiculous. But I agree, there are things like direct energy weaponry that are behind this, and that could be a way of testing it as well.
Who's doing this? Who's doing this?
Well, who's doing this? Is that what the question was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we answered that before, didn't you, Jim?
Well, he's talking about the fires now, the wildfires in California and Australia, as opposed to the...
And Canada.
Yeah, well,
and Canada.
Well, the same people are controlling that. They just had their, whoever, the governments, fake governments, with their... they can get anyone to light the fires. Not one fire in Australia has ever been an arsonist arrested and sent to prison. Never. Because we know who the arsonists are. They're the ones that... The government in the black cup, in the dark shadows.
When I look at Judy Woods,
Danny, is there anything you'd like to comment on with the conversation you've been listening to?
Jim, could I just interfere before I disappear?
A question about
Kerry, hang on, Danny's speaking. Go ahead, Danny.
Yes, sir. I wanted to finish. You did ask me a question about the suspect, Rayshard Brooks.
Yeah.
In the Atlanta.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to finish. What I ran down in the background of him, he had a massive felony record. I mean, a very long rap sheet where he had been in prison several times. So, he was not a good guy, no matter what you call him. The other thing is that the press is not talking about is he had a felony warrant out for his arrest in Ohio, and he also had a felony warrant for his arrest already in Georgia. So they were looking for him.
And so shouldn't the police have been aware of that then?
Well, they might not have ran it. It's okay. Hard to say what went on behind the scenes. Or, sir, the first thing you do is flip the guy's plate and his license plate. You'll run it.
Yeah.
And then you'll check for wants or warrants.
Find out who you're dealing with.
Yeah, and I didn't see them do that. And that's one of the procedural errors that calls into question and suspect of these two officers.
Very good.
They made a few procedural errors that most people wouldn't pick up. But I want to focus on him. So he had a felony warrant. He had an extensive stay in prison. And he had a felony warrant out of Georgia that nobody wants to talk about. He knew, sir, his mindset, as soon as those handcuffs came out, he knew he was going back to prison, sir. There was no doubt about it. This was not going to be a DUI arrest. It was a DUI, but he was going to be held for other charges they were looking for him. And that's what's being held. Now, there's one more point. He was actually staying. I traced his email address to another address in Georgia. And it turns out that that address was the address to where his girlfriend he was living with. They're saying it's his wife, but there's no reported kids. I traced the genealogy. And when I looked at this baby mama girl that appears on TV, when I look into her background, sir, she has an extensive background. She does have children. It's not apparent whether they're with him. But the problem is she's been arrested before, including she had a recent arrest for prostitution. So she is not a good person herself, sir. So we're dealing with some very strange characters.
Yeah.
And the media is hiding all these facts. The DA is hiding all these facts from the public to try to craft a narrative that just isn't true, sir.
Yeah, this sounds like an artificially constructed scenario where all the players were acting in accordance with a script. Do you have any comment on the fire issue that Kerry brought up?
Well, where I live, sir, in California, we were devastated by the fire. I saw some incredible video. I saw things happen that are not normal. I completely believe the smart meter. In California, PG&E was sued over the smart meter.
Yes.
It cost them billions of dollars. You're allowed to opt out, which I have done. My family has done. They charge you $75 to come out your house for 30 seconds and pull the meter.
Yeah.
And then you have to pay an additional 10% on your bill every month, because every 3 months they average it and they send a meter reader out to pull the readings from your meter. So I chose to pay that. But I noticed that in those fires, you'll see all the houses were burned down. But every so often you would see a house that was not burned down, a lone home in an area that was completely devastated. And the common denominator, sir, that house opted out and did not have a smart meter.
Yes.
And I find that very strange that those are the lone houses
yes.
that the fire somehow skipped, went over, or went around. and did not burn down.
Unless, in fact, they're actually being caused by the smart meter, in which case you've got the reason for the exception.
It could be, sir. I followed the smart meter movement. Barry Trower, the inventor of the smart meter, said they're very dangerous. I understand how they pulse the wires. You know, I had a little ringing in my ear, and when I removed my smart meter, the ringing in my ear went away immediately. They're very dangerous. Anybody that can hear this, I would encourage you to find out if you have a smart meter and get it removed from your home. If you have to pay a little more every month, it's completely worth it. You do not want one of those devices in your house.
Corey, what do you think about smart meter causation as opposed to directed energy? I mean, I also, of course, believe in directed energy weapons. One was used to take down the aircraft of Paul Wellstone back in Minnesota quite a few years ago. But tell me, what about the smart meter causation theory as opposed to directed energy?
Well, we haven't had too much smart meter stuff in Canada yet.
Okay. I'm looking
for it, but that will come. So I really couldn't say anything about that.
Okay. That's
I'd just like to mention before we finish, though, I know you're getting near
sure.
the end of your show.
Go ahead.
I used to be a member of Company C, 10th Louisiana in Toronto. We were actually doing Civil War reenactment. We used to have an 80-member group there, and we used to go down and do Gettysburg and, all sorts of battles in the States, including...
You participate in reenactments of Civil War battles.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, the eastern states are very beautiful, like the Shenandoah Valley. It's really wonderful. It's a great place to visit. But I've never heard any mention about the Gettysburg battlefield, and we did. I remember the Gettysburg battle. In fact, I was a member. We were off camp, off the site where we actually did the breaking of the angle, which is very important in American history. I'm a Canadian. But, I mean, a mother load of statues. There are over, like, 1,300 statues, 148 historic buildings, and 410 candidates, according to Wikipedia in the States. But I haven't heard any mention of any attack on these statues at Gettysburg. I mean, this is the mother load of...
don't give them any ideas. This is just horrendous what's going on here.
I agree.
It's an aspect of cultural Marxism, really, the attempt to destroy the identity of the nation, to deprive us of our own history, that turn us into a cultural wasteland. It's unbelievable.
Well, North American history, I mean, Canada is related to the American Civil War. I mean, we created our country
Hello.
In 1867, 2 years after, 3 years after the American Civil War, because, I mean, Grant had 3 million soldiers in arms. But I never hear any mention about what's going to happen to the statues and the cannons and the historic buildings.
Well, let's wait and see it. Hope to God they don't continue this. It's awful. God-awful.
I don't want to give them any ideas here.
Right,
you know.
Corey, you're welcome to stick around. Mike from California. Mike, join the conversation.
Hi. I was calling because I heard you talking about the California wildfires and the smart meters and all
that. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I follow Deborah Tavares quite a bit, and she covers that really, really well. And
great woman.
Yeah, and she is, I mean, she's adamant that this is, like, going to be every summer that they're going to have, the plan is really to burn up a lot of Northern California.
And what's the objective, Michael?
I think it's to get, basically, to ruin people's livelihoods, to get them out of their houses, to get them into the cities. A lot of these are in rural areas, except for Santa Rosa is kind of a big city, but...
need rural communities for crying out loud. Who wants to live in a city, for God's sake? You know, I think it's just an awful idea.
But that's the overall plan, is to get people out of the rural areas, pack them into the densely populated cities so where they have the 5G and the smart technologies to control everybody.
Yeah,
exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah. And Jim, but the smart meters, is a funny. The funny thing about PG&E is that I opted out of the smart meters. I talked to my, we watched a video on YouTube about it, and I said we got to get, you know, and I knew about what happened in Santa Rosa already, but we got rid of our smart meter, and then we had to pay extra amount to have PG&E come out. But with the COVID, it's bizarre because now they want you to take a picture of your meter and text it to them because they won't even come out to your house to read the meter, which is...
You're kidding me.
No, no. And our meters are outside our house. They're on the side outside. But they're using this as an excuse to not even come to your house to...
Fascinating. PK, did you want to add thoughts here?
Yeah, I agree with him 100% where he said they want people to be brought into, like I said, smart cities. They want everyone in Australia virtually to be on the south east coastline of Australia. That's how they want to control you. If you're all together in high-rise buildings, they're building high-rise buildings everywhere. They want us all together. They want people off the land. They want to control. They want to control the food system. They don't want the individual farmers growing their own good organic food. They want a GMO, everything. They want to be, like I said, controlled by the Chinese. That's how they want to control us, Jim. Exactly what your caller said.
Jim, can I say something?
I'm just going to finish, Jim. Sorry.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Yeah.
Can I say something?
Floyd. If George Floyd was shot by a policeman, you would never have heard his name, Jim.
Yeah, go ahead.
But instead, he's more famous and more well-known than Martin Luther King and Muhammad Ali.
Michael, did you want to add something more?
No, I just wanted to the one thing about the fires, though. I don't think it's just smart meters, though. I think there's a directed energy weapon aspect to it, too, because...
Well, that's what Corbin thinks also.
When they had the fires back in 2017 timeframe in Napa and Sonoma County, there was large areas of land that were just went up like a Christmas tree that didn't have any homes. It was just large parts of land that burned.
Could there be an interaction between directed energy and the smart meters? Because we do have the
home. It could be a coordination between the two. But I watched a lot of video on that right after it happened on YouTube when it was still relatively free to post stuff like that, but I think smart meters play a role, definitely, but I think it's also directed energy weapons, because I did see videos where they showed these blue lights at night, like laser type technology that was, and then when you have a lot of the heavy metals that were settled out from the chemtrailing, like it was described earlier, it just lights things up like a torch.
It's an explosive mixture. Yeah. Corey, did you want to come back in on this?
Yeah, we got to make
up. I want to say something, Jim.
Oh, Bill, I hadn't brought you in yet.
No, I've been sitting here for ages since you opened it up almost. I just want to say something that I found by accident on the internet, in that, you know how they're talking about the RNA altering your DNA? Well, if you have a bone marrow transplant, it can change your DNA, and evidently it's commonly known that some people get accused of crimes that their DNA showed, but it wasn't them because they'd had some sort of transplant, and the DNA shows up as the other person. This one I saw was the guy, like 90% of his cells in his body became the donor's DNA.
That's really bizarre. That's really bizarre.
It is, but it's on Wikipedia.
I do not understand the biology of that, because I've always understood your DNA is fixed forever. Now, your RNA can change, or aspects, but you know, I've never understood how DNA could change. Does anyone here have expertise?
Well, evidently, Jim, part of the explanation is that when you get the transplant, it attacks the outside of your DNA, which is what they test. So it mightn't be affecting all your DNA, but it affects the peripheral stuff. That's some sort of explanation. But evidently, it's on Wikipedia. I know not everything on Wikipedia is true, but it's supposedly a fact. And this guy, he
he was probably the one that brought it to the fore, because him and the donor decided to keep testing his DNA to see what happened. And in the end, it was only his brain and something else that wasn't the other guy's on the test, you know. On the test.
Still, someone else said they did have some knowledge of this area. Who
yeah, I'll get out, Jim. I'll hang up.
No, well, that's okay, Bill. You could hang or not. Either way, I'm glad you called.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
I'll stay.
Okay, who had some expertise in this area?
No, no expertise, Dr. Fetzer. This is Dominic. I call
yeah,
back.
Go ahead, Dominic.
Hope you don't mind. Well, it's called CRISPR, and they've invented this way to go in and cut your DNA and insert whatever they want to. And that's what they've been doing with these viruses. HIV, they said they came from the monkey virus, right? Where they went in with this CRISPR method and they insert animal DNA or animal RNA or DNA, whatever it is. I'm not an expert, of course, but they do have a way to go in and change your DNA. Your DNA is not now, where it used to be, like you said, permanent. Now it's not. They can go in there and change your DNA.
I just don't understand how that happened.
Jim, you don't need a CRISPR. You don't need a CRISPR. It happens by itself. And sure, you could do it with a CRISPR, but there's animals that use this for reproduction and all sorts of things. It's well documented, and it can happen naturally. But these people are having transplants, and even a blood transfusion can alter your DNA because it's someone else's blood.
Well,
but the point I was trying to make was that with this RNA vaccine that they're proposing, that will use CRISPR to go in and change your DNA. Your DNA is who you are.
You've all convinced me.
If they change your DNA, you're no longer the same person.
You've all convinced me I need to get someone who's an expert here on the show. We're running down. Danny, I'd like you to have a chance to add a few more words.
Yeah, you know, sir, I do believe on those fires. There's definitely something that started it. But I wanted to just end with the George Floyd situation.
Sure.
A quick recap. I'd like to talk about magic handcuffs and remind everybody of the order of things. In the first video that's been censored many times online, we see the two officers pull George Floyd, or the fake George Floyd, out of a Mercedes SUV. We did track that Mercedes SUV, and it has a protected license plate on it. It's not his vehicle. Nobody wants to talk about whose vehicle he was driving on that day. Nobody wants to talk about that he doesn't have a fingerprint or any records in the state of Minnesota.
Very
whatsoever.
Good.
Only records in Houston. Now let's move on.
That sounds like we're talking about a lot of crisis actors here, Danny.
Yes, sir, I would agree. You also see, if I can follow, they handcuff him very clearly on the sidewalk, and then after that, they walk him across the street over to their vehicle, and just as they're putting him in the car, the camera cuts out when he's clearly standing on the curbside. And here's the next scene. The next scene, we see they're staging the body on the other side.
Yeah.
The famous choking video where he's on the wrong side of the car now with his head up against the tire.
Right.
And then they slide his body down around the bumper. But here's key, sir. We were able to pull an image out of the video and enhance it. And I sent you those pictures before the show. Do you happen to have those pictures?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let me see if I can't pull them up, Danny. Here's one of them. Here's where he's kneeling.
Yeah, if you look at the little arrow there right by the officer's knee, you'll see that the suspect is no longer handcuffed, sir, during the fight.
Right.
I could tell you without a doubt that they would never remove handcuffs from a felony suspect during an arrest. They don't take the handcuffs off till they get to central booking down in the jail. So the biggest tale that blows this thing wide open is that image right there. Everybody focus hard and look at his right arm and his right hand. He has no handcuffs. His arm is free and his hand is free because he's helping the officers, or the acting officers who are actors, stage his body.
I mean, after all, he was handcuffed behind his back.
Yes, he was handcuffed. And then after this scene, sir, we see the other video where they're loading him on the gurney, and he's handcuffed behind his back again.
Yeah.
So what we see is he's handcuffed, then he's not handcuffed, and then he's handcuffed again. The whole thing was staged and shot like a movie in different scenes, different stages, however you want to say it. And it's fake, sir. This,
yeah.
These are all actors. The officers aren't real. I ran a background on every single officer. Derek Chauvin was never a police officer. He lives in Florida. He's registered in Florida. They accused him of voter fraud the other day. He pays taxes in Florida. That's where his house is. His wife is a registered radiologist in Florida. She's not a realtor in Minnesota. The whole thing stinks, sir. The records never lie, and it's a complete fabrication. And then the other image that you have in front of you, I called it on day one. I said, we are never going to see these crisis actors again. They will disappear. Well, what happens in court the other day? They show us this drawing, this likeness of Derek Chauvin. And wasn't it nice of him, sir, to draw a mask?
Yes, of course.
You know, it doesn't even look like him. He's got long hair. It doesn't even look at it. It looks like a child. A child.
Can I ask one last question?
Yeah. Is that Dominic? We're almost out of time, Doc. Go ahead. Go ahead, quick.
One last question. You know, I appreciate everything Danny said and your first guest said, but this minor incident, you know, with cops and blacks, whatever, how can that go worldwide without somebody back there pulling the strings?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's over in England now.
The media.
You know, it's over in England now. It's going across
the Wizard
the world.
Of Oz.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. And Paul, I'm going to get you in.
Thank you. Wizard of Oz. You got it right, brother.
Glad to have you here. Listen, I want to thank
Paul.
Paul, and we're getting real tight. I want to give PK a chance to say a few more words before we have to conclude our conversation. PK.
Thanks, Jim. Right. You said it right there. The media is the virus. That's how it spreads, and it spreads like wildfire as soon as they get it, and they spew it 24/7, but just go that Atlanta thing that you talked about, which I never heard of. Exactly, staged, all actors. They specifically select actors that have got supposed criminal records to fit the agenda. Just like here in Bourke Street, we got the guy with criminal records everywhere. All these staged events. But I just want to. I'm going to make a video now on this George Floyd thing. That's very intriguing about the handcuffs. Can you send me that image, please, Jim? Later. You don't mind? That one?
Sure. You mean that Danny just showed here?
Yeah, yeah.
With that.
He's got head without the handcuffs.
Sure, sure, sure. Yeah, that's easily available. Yes, yes, yes. Of course, I'll send it to you.
So,
Danny, we're at the end. I just want to thank you both. PK, sensational. Keep up the great work. Danny, you were just exquisite in dissecting both cases. Wonderful contribution, and thanks to all the callers. This is Jim Fenster, your host on Broadway.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Who owns you? If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine. Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays for Voices on the Wind with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people under fire, children at the cannons. There are...
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Hi everybody, it's me, the Fetch, host of Inside the Eye Live. Before the Sunday mainstream media political pundit talk shows, there is Inside the Eye Live, where we break down some of the weekly mainstream media talking points before the talking points even get aired. Add in some entertaining stories, weather, cats, intriguing, and informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So join me, The Fetch, for Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.